Welcome to the Sales Acceleration Podcast, where B2B leaders talk about real problems and real solutions across the areas of demand generation, sales, and sales operations. I'm your host, Gabe Larson. Let's get at it.
Welcome, everybody, to the Sales Acceleration Podcast. We're excited today. As always, we've got a great guest, this one. This one's a little different. I probably said that a couple times, but I ran into this gentleman in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, at a mastermind class. This gentleman interacts with a lot of great people, a lot of great people that you've heard of, that I've probably heard of. One in particular is Jack Canfield. Jack Canfield has endorsed this gentleman quite a bit, and his up and coming. Oh, no, it's not up and coming. Is that correct, Harinder? This is a book that's already out.
No, it's actually going to be up and coming. It'll be released October 2010.
I'm seeing the advertisement here. So we've got Harinder Singh, and he is the author of a book called Mindboxing. Now, it's a book that he's recently introduced to me too. I know Harinder, again, from previous interactions, but I loved his idea. I loved his talk track. I watched a TED Talk where he talked about leaders kind of wading through a lot of the crap, getting to clarity to be able to be a high performer. And I reached out and said, Harinder, any chance you could come on our podcast and talk to leaders about the way you teach others to get clarity? And so, Harinder, thanks so much for joining, and how the heck are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Gabe, and very excited and honored to be a part of this.
Yeah, so I probably didn't do very, very good justice of introducing you and your background. Can you tell us just a little bit about the book Mindboxing and maybe your background and what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. Mindboxing is about the art and science of self-mastery. You know, it's mindboxing. There's like a war that rages in our heads. Oftentimes, we need to get out of our own ways to remove our own limitations, to learn to connect better to people, to learn to adapt to situations, and then ultimately create our solutions, our products, our memories, whatever it is. But all of that comes from being in a certain state of mind. And I call that state of mind the high performance zone. The high performance zone is a state of mind where you have heightened levels of attention and awareness. It's a place where time actually starts to slow down. You're calm, cool, and collected versus being amped, rushing, tense, and anxious, you know, the opposite side of it. When we're in this state, we have all our powers of connectivity, adaptability, and creativity available. And what my book was about was figuring out how do we maximize this potential? How do we get into this state of mind, this altered state of presence? And within this state of presence, there are different levels. And how do we achieve them? I have put this book together from teachings that have been passed down to me from over 23 generations and 2,000 years of Kung Fu, Tai Chi especially, the trainings been passed down from teacher to student, like I said, for a few thousand years. And I have also worked with over 100 law enforcement agencies, special forces, Secret Service, Navy SEALs, elite military, globally and in the United States. It's been a fantastic honor. But the main thing that I'm always focused on is the mind and the individual taking part in the activity. So whether it's a sales meeting, or it's a sales goal, or it's a mission, or it's a game, or it's the big boardroom meeting, whatever it comes down to, even down to my interactions with my son and my wife, they're all connections. And if I can bring my A self, the part of me that's connected, on point and not up in my mind worrying or thinking and obsessing about what I need to do or what I must do, then I have all my resources right here in the present moment, and I can create, adapt, and connect. And so that's kind of what my book's about, and how to use and integrate the body, the mind, and spirit, and how do we manipulate that in space and time?
I love it, man. I love it. Again, I've been following Harinder on Facebook. Incredible videos, incredible thoughts. So I'm excited to dive into mind boxing here in just a minute. But before we do, Harinder, outside of work, outside of your travel schedule and a lot of your trainings, anything unique to yourself, any kind of fun or crazy hobbies?
Well, I have a pretty crazy hobby that kind of goes with my work too, but I put it on after. I'm really into bending metal now.
Excuse me, did you say bending metal? Bending?
Yeah, bending steel, you know, horseshoes and nails and railroad spikes.
Wow.
Get my way up to a wrench, you know, and driving nails through boards. So I've been doing a lot of the old-time strongman stuff. Dennis Rogers, one of my teachers, he's the world's strongest man, pound for pound. And really, it's about removing limitations. You know, I pick up a piece of steel and see, will my will bend the steel, or will the steel bend to my will? You know, which one's it going to be?
I love it.
So it's a really cool thing it's amazing what the body can do. You know, I think within a month or 2 months, I'll be bending wrenches by then. So
wow. Well, that is definitely a unique hobby. So let's get into mind boxing for a minute. So as you think about senior leaders, I mean, I just want to set the context here, right? So with our audience, a lot of sales, marketing, sales operation leaders, and it's a high pressure situation, right? We've got end of month or end of quarter numbers, and my job's on the line. The recent study came out that said a lot of senior leaders, CROs, chief revenue officers, they're only staying in their job 18 to 24 months, and then they're moving on, mostly because they're not hitting their numbers. So it's a high pressure, high octane situation, and it's hard to get through the crap and get into those moments of clarity. You used earlier that word zone, and I love it. I'm a little bit of a sports guy, and I there was a few times where I actually got in the zone. But talk to me about how you would initiate and start coaching an executive around getting through that clutter and finding that kind of extreme presence for that zone that you talked about.
Absolutely. So the zone, the high performance zone that we want to get into. So the state of mind that we want to get into is going to be determined all the way down to what you did the night before and what you did in the morning before you left your house. So if we back up a little bit and let's look at it as a crisis situation. So and the crisis can be anything. So with our sales guys, you know, that are trying to hit their numbers or going to make a big pitch that they have to do, whatever it is, there's a crisis that's approaching. The crisis has to be managed at the three different times of its development. So what I mean by that is there is first stage before the crisis. What state of mind and body are you in before the crisis, before the meeting, before the moment of tension? And then how do you act and react during the tension? And then what do you do after the tension? So these are three very important steps that are like a cycle that feed into each other.
Yeah,
oftentimes, you know what I mean? So oftentimes when we look at like stress, a lot of people will talk about just what to do in this stressful situation. But what I would like to do is give you a complete formula on how to prepare yourself before, what to do during, and what to do after. I mean, with the soldiers I work with, they can't, I mean, you visualization, preparation, setting your mind and body and putting them in the right place is of utmost importance before they even step off or jump off the helicopter or where they're going. There's a routine, and that routine is very important.
Interesting, because I can see how, you know, a lot of times we probably only get caught up in the moment, but you're right, there's a preparatory or a pre-moment period, whether it's the night before or, again, that last day of the quarter or the last day of the month, where it's going to just be my boss is going to be after me, my guys are going to be after me, where there's probably a preparatory and then there's something after. So as you think about these three areas, how do you start to create this formula for success?
Yeah. So let's start with the morning before, right? So in the morning, you have two options. You have an option to wake up with just enough time, slam the alarm, chug some coffee, get in your car, you know, rush to work, hope you get there on time. Your mind starts to race, and now you're thinking a million things, and then you're driving. You might get in an accident. You might drive fast and get pulled over. And then that adds more stress, and you're still trying to get to the meeting. So that's one example of how the day could go. And then the other, right? And then the other extreme example is you wake up considerably earlier. After you wake up in the morning and then you take your time. You wake up slowly. One thing I learned is that a master never rushes, but they're always on time. And the only way they could do that is if they start early by preparing themselves. And so you wake up early in the morning, and the first thing I suggest you do is drink a glass of water. After you drink a glass of water, you should break a sweat. And then people go, well, break a sweat. I'm going to a sales intellectual meeting. But your body is there performing you. Your body is what's going to be holding the stress. So break an actual sweat. You don't have to work out super hard, but you got to break a sweat. If you break a sweat, it changes the chemical composition in your brain. We start to release epinephrine, norepinephrine, dopamine, and serotonin. And these chemicals start to make us feel better. These chemicals allow us to relax. So that's the first thing. Now, after we do that, then use some quiet time. And in mind boxing, I talk about, I have many exercises to help you really still your mind. But once you've broken a sweat and warmed up your body, it's a lot easier to then go to the mind. And then we have certain exercises that involve visualization and breathing and movement. Those are very important, visualization, breathing, and movement together. And then after that, you've done that, you eat something. You eat something healthy. Then go have a cold shower. Have a cold shower. And after you have a cold shower, you've eaten something healthy, you've quieted your mind, you've broken a sweat. Guess what? Now you're ready to leave your house. Now you're in your body and mind that is in a different state. It is calm, cool, and collected. And then you leave way early. You leave way earlier than your meeting is supposed to be. Get there way before your opponents or way before your clients. Get the lay of the land, relax, and just kind of walk through things like you own it. And that's very important before the crisis even starts.
Okay, so state of mind. Okay, so hold us. Everything made sense. I mean, it is, well, maybe let's follow up with two quick questions here. So one is, you know, oftentimes I find myself staying up a little later. You know, I get stressed. What is the optimal number of hours of sleep? You know, you mentioned to wake up early. Do I need to try to focus on getting a certain number of hours of sleep, or do you get into that too much?
You know, sleep is very important, and your sleep schedule also is going to impact your stress and how you're going to do the next day. Now, sleep, as we all know, when we're dealing with crisis and stuff like that, is a rare commodity. So in the day, like the regular days, you sleep your 6 to 8 hours that you feel comfortable. But sometimes when you get down to the crunch, there is no time to sleep. And in that section, it's better to kind of sleep less and just smash through, take little breaks and just smash through, in my opinion, to get through what you're doing. Because when you rest in times of extreme stress, you come down. And that's that can be hard to get back into it.
Got it. Okay. So, and then you mentioned a cold shower. I'm not really a fan of cold showers. What's the reason for a cold shower? Just part of the wake up process, or what's the key there?
Oh yeah. I mean, so I've been experimenting with cold showers for a long time, I hate it. I hate the cold. I hate the cold more than anything. And that's why I do it. It's a victory. Almost every single person hates the cold, right? So you start your first day with a victory over the cold. And you say, oh man, I'm going to turn this cold shower on. It's going to be cold. And I'm going to stand under this and I'm going to beat you. So then you walk out of the shower with the first victory already. Like, hey, I just conquered the cold. And yeah, your body feels good. You feel up. You're awake. You're energized like you've never been energized before. It's like standing under a waterfall.
Love it.
You can have a waterfall every single day with a cold shower, right? I when I turn the cold shower on, I imagine I'm in Hawaii under a waterfall.
Right.
And the cold takes me directly there. So it wakes you up. It gets your energy going really well. makes you aware, makes you alert. The little tiny muscle fibers in your body start to open up, and you're just on. It helps turn you on. That's how I look at it.
Okay, so I get that part. So I get you've got the prerequisite activities that need to be done. Now let's shift to where you're actually in that moment. You're in the heated moment. The boss comes in. You've got the negotiation. How can you navigate successfully through those situations?
All right. During the crisis, there are three elements at play. There's the environment, there's other people, and there's yourself. You don't necessarily have control over other people, and you don't necessarily have control over the environment. The only thing you have control over is yourself and how you act and react to other people and the environment. So how do we get control? When stress happens, what ends up happening is we start to get really tense. The body gets tense. It gets stiff. And then the next thing happens is once that starts to happen, your thoughts start to race. So tension is the stiffness in the body, tightness. And then that tightness is also going to impact your thoughts by causing your thoughts to race and move a little faster. So your perception of time starts to speed up. You start to sweat, you know, you get that underarm sweat. And we all know that, oh man, as soon as things get tense,
right,
your armpits
right,
start
right,
to
right.
Sweat.
I've had it. You've had it. Everybody's had it.
Right. And everybody's had it. And so that's the sign that, hey man, things are going out of hand. So what we need to do is that we need to intercept all that, and instantly, when we walk into that situation, during the whole situation, we have to be cognizant of our breathing. Because if we dial back into the breathing and we're focusing on the breathing, we are in the moment, and we're not up in our minds thinking about what we need to do, the sale that we need to close, and we're not worrying about previous things, maybe a previous relationship with the client. Because the future and the past don't exist in this moment. So if your mind is up there and your brain is up there processing that, then the processing power is thinking of a future situation or a past situation, and it's not being given to the situation at hand. So the fastest way to get your processing power back is to focus on your breathing. Once you focus on your breathing, you start to bring yourself down. And very important, like I said, the state you are in already is going to determine how much you're going to have to do to stay present. So the better state of mind in place you can put yourself in, the less effort you're going to have to put trying to relax yourself. And it's like a muscle, Gabe, at the end of the day. The more you practice it, the better you get. I'm sure you know, like in the sales, there's big guns. There's the big guns, the big guys you bring in when, man, you know that everything's on the line. You bring the big guns in, you bring the big closers in. Why? Because they have the experience. They've done it so many times and they're way more relaxed. So if they're way more relaxed and you're in the moment or the high performance zone, now the beauty of the whole thing starts to happen. Because what are we looking at? If you're in the zone and you're not up in your head thinking, then you can connect to your client. You can actually connect to them. You can use empathy and find out what is it that this person really wants. I mean, a really good salesperson is an amazing communicator, but more importantly, they know how to get to what that person wants. They know how to serve their client better than anybody else. That's what it comes down to. But to know how to serve them, we have to be in the state where we're in the high performance zone, where we're present so we can connect. Now, once we've connected, now we can start to adapt to what we need to have happen. Once you connect your opponent, once you connect your client, you can start to adapt to them, start to see, okay, what are their needs? What do I have? How do I adapt it? How do I be like water and adapt to this person instead of forcing this person? That's the big thing. If you look in combat, you can never force a situation. I'm sure it applies in sales as well. In anything good, you can never force it. It has to be led. So the client, just like the opponent, just like water, has to be led to the end destination. I can't push them, and I can't force
interesting.
Them.
But you're saying that the key to basically getting in that state of mind is you know, some people would maybe say preparation, you know, studying the client out or knowing your pitch better than someone. I mean, you'd hear probably different things in different sales training situations. But what you're saying, in order to own that situation, it actually all starts with controlling and mastering your breath. Am I understanding that right?
100%.
And because that basically gets that controls the moment. It allows you to look at this a little more objectively rather than looking at it through the eyes of adrenaline or the eyes of fear. It just allows you to look at it for what it is, which is basically the presence.
You got it, Gabe. I couldn't have summed it up better myself.
I mean, it's interesting because, like I said, I mean, for our listeners, I mean, I've been to a lot of sales trainings that I've never heard, to own that situation again. And I say situation, but it could be the heavy negotiation, the close the deal, the end of month, end of year conversation with your boss, the moment you're going to get fired or whatever it may be. You start with your breath. Okay, yeah. So let's assume you can master that and you can get through some sort of, keep yourself in that present moment through mastering your breath and then looking at the situation a little more objectively. How do you then wrap it up? You mentioned kind of a post thing. What does that mean, or what should or shouldn't you do as you kind of come to a close here?
Absolutely. So, you know, once we're in that zone and we're connected to the person, we can adapt to the person. What the final highest level is, then we get to create the solution. Because that's the next natural progression. Once you connect to the person, then you can adapt to what they need and adjust to what they need. Sometimes you have to crash through. Sometimes you have to find a hole. Sometimes you have to go around. So just like water, you're going to do that. But then it's going to open up creativity. And the creativity part, I think, is the coolest part. It's like that part where you are, you know, navigating a conversation, you're navigating a sale, and then boom, an idea comes to you in the moment that you never thought of before. And those are the things that we want to get to and those elements that we want to add. So the creativity can oftentimes provide you with a creative solution to whatever you're seeking. Now, to wrap it up, the way you guys would normally do your closes and things of that nature, you continue that way because I think that in the world of sales or in the world of combat or the military or whatever, each field already knows their best practices. Everybody knows what they have to do. It's just about, I'm more about the individual taking part in the process instead of the process, because we can refine the process as much as possible, read thousands of books on the process. They all pretty much say the same kind of idea. But the individual taking part in the process, I have noticed, is always the big difference, the big differentiator in success. Now, the part of dealing with stress after, so the meeting's ended, okay, now success or no success, there was a lot of stress in that meeting. So it could have led to a successful outcome or unsuccessful outcome. That doesn't even matter. But the stress that was created is now in your body and it's in your mind. And you have to have a way to release this stress. This is very important. So, I mean, as you and I both know, whether you're in the military, high-level sales executive, alcohol is a pretty big thing that's involved in a lot of it, if you think about it, in the meetings, in dinners, in afterwards to unwind. Why do we do that? We go to celebrate and have a bunch of drinks afterwards because you're happy. You want to build a relationship. All those things are amazing. And build camaraderie, that's right. Just the way the game right. is played. And we all know that. Here's the thing. What that does is that it takes you out of the cycle because the stress is not being dealt with. It's just being numb. So, the next day you're going to come back, but that stress, it seems like it's gone, but it's not. It's in your body. You know, so if you go, whether it's alcohol or whether it's watching TV or whether it's working out too much, all those things are there to numb people out and to help them process the stress that has happened. All the way over to, for example, when I work with guys coming back from the military that are suffering with PTSD, how do they go back home? How do they go back into the environment? Because a stressful situation is a form of post-traumatic stress. And having a process, which I provide in Mindboxing, is of utmost importance. So, for example, before you go home, I suggest don't go to the bar. I suggest don't go directly home either. take a moment to now take yourself out of that environment, out of the stress, out of the other people, go to a place where it's nice and quiet, still the mind again, just like you did in the morning, do a workout again, just to break a little bit of a sweat, break a little sweat, 10, 15 minutes, and repeat the same routine from the morning. Still your mind again with some of the exercises that I provide, mind boxing or yoga or meditation or whatever you like to do, some kind of mindful exercise, maybe even a round of golf. I mean, whatever it is that you like, music, you have to find it. Now find that avenue to release the stress, because you have to release the stress on a daily basis, because otherwise it's going to build up compound and you don't know it's killing you. It's a silent killer that's going to kill you. A, from your health perspective, but B, it's gonna stack up like tartar, you know, and like plaque in your arteries over time, and then the stress will build up every day. So I think it's very important that we set ourselves up correctly, stay in the moment during stress, but then find a positive, healthy activity
to kind of decompress,
to release the stress before we go home. Yeah, we got to, as part of the process. You can't go home. You're going to go home super amped up, right? Super amped up, super excited, which is okay. But that's a problem too, because the more excited you get, the more happy you get, you know, you're going to crash harder. And similarly, the other side of it is, oh man, you it was a temporary loss. Like, to me, there's no difference between victory and defeat. Victory is victory. Defeat means I need to improve to win again later. That, if we look at it that way, we can never be defeated. You know, fail, invest in loss. And oftentimes we're too afraid to lose. That fear of losing, that fear of not making the sale, that, which is, they're all there. I mean, they're legitimate concerns, but they're not real. They haven't existed yet. So every moment that you give to fear, every moment you give to fear, stealing from your personal power in that moment that you could have been using to resolve the situation.
I love it, man. You know, the problem that someone like myself has is, It's hard to choose to do this, right? It's funny, when I listen to you, I'm like, God, is there any other way to prepare, execute, and then follow through after? But there is, you know, you find yourself, and I'm thinking why we don't do it often. We're reactive rather than proactive, right? We just let the morning, you know, before the big day take us. We let the meeting kind of run the way it wants it to run. And then after, to your point, we go numb. We go unconscious. As we kind of wrap here, what is it? Why do people not do this? And what can they do to overcome it? I mean, is it simply just a choice? Is it simply just recognition and choose?
I think a big part of it is choice, but the choice doesn't even come into it, because it's not a way of life for most people. So I think that's why it's so completely out of the norm, where it's very simple, but it's not something we see. Understand it because of combat, because of life and death. And in those kinds of situations, there can be no room for, there's no second chances. The bullets are flying by your head. There's no second chances. So we have to be perfect. We have to intercept the future. I think that's the big thing. Like, you hit it on the head. We have become a reactionary society. Everywhere we've become reactionary. But the person that is going to be the one that is intercepting the situation instead of reacting to the situation is going to have a much greater chance of success than the person always reacting, because then that becomes more like a crapshoot. Is my reaction going to be better than your response? Yes or no? I don't know. But if I'm ahead of the situation, I'm not even going to let you respond. I'm not even going to let you react. We're not even going to let this fight happen. Then it's all in my control. You know, as Sun Tzu said, lead the enemy through the valleys, so you're up on the mountain peaks, and then you're in control of the terrain and the environment. You're leading them. And I think that's very important, and that requires preparation. And the greatest leaders that I've ever met, the greatest sales folks, CEOs, athletes, every single one of them has a routine. they have a way that they do, you know, especially if they're successful and they're sustained.
I love it. It's a great way to kind of wrap this up. So, Harinder, super interesting. Anxious to get my hands on Mindboxing. You'll have to let us know when it comes out so we can blast it out to the viewership here. But if someone wants to get a hold of you in the meantime, is there a place or a way you'd recommend to do that?
Yeah, they can go to mindboxing.com. I have the video courses there that are already available if people are interested until the book comes out. Like I said, the book will be out, I believe, October 27th is the date that it's coming out. I'm very excited for that. And if anybody wants to send me an email, they can send an email at singh@mindboxing.com. And I'm always there and available to help. You know, I think the human potential is an amazing thing. And every field, every individual can rise to their highest self and win. And winning is a cool feeling, man.
it's never a bad winning. So, Harinder, thanks so much again for joining. Really appreciate the talk track. A little different for our audience, but I think very relevant and very important. And so with that, to our audience, let's get at it.